Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You could, if you title this, you could call it The Old Versus the New. Okay? And 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I'm going to start off by asking a question, I guess. And this is for all of us, me, myself as well. But how much are you rooted in the new you, the new creation, the Word says you are, and how much of you is stuck in the old man with its doubts, worries, and fears? That's an honest question, don't you think?
Yeah, right.
So, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead." What a interesting statement. Speaking of Jesus Christ who died for all, and then we're all dead. You know, years ago we learned the word all or every. They mean the same thing. Has to be understood in light of the context, right? It could be all, without exception, everything. Or it could be all specifically referring to something in a certain category or a certain class, like that. All were dead, meaning all those that believed. And that he died for all, mankind, right? Everybody, with that exception. That they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. That's a pretty great statement there. You know, if we take it to heart, you know, we recognize the greatness of what Jesus Christ did for us, how he died for us, and that we should live for him. Wherefore, because of what we just read, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth know we him no more. You know, Jesus Christ walked on the earth. He had flesh, right? He was known in the flesh. But then he ascended into heaven. Can't know him in the flesh anymore. But it says that we're not to know any man in the flesh. We're to look past the flesh to what's going on with them spiritually, right? If somebody's born again, it's not just their flesh, it's that they're born again of God's Spirit. Verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." It should read creation. A new creation. "Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." What a great thing. Anyone who is in Christ, meaning those who are born again, are a new creation. Remember back in the beginning in Genesis, it said that man was made, formed, and created. Right? He was formed of the ground, of the dirt. He was made a living soul, and God created spirit within him, spirit life. And when Adam sinned, he lost that spirit life. When we get born again, we receive that spirit life once more. So it says, "Old things are passed away or gone. Behold, all things or new things have come." Let's go to John, the Gospel of John. Obviously, my initial question answers itself, you know, and it should cause us to think, you know, am I rooted in the doubts, worries, and fears, or am I rooted in the new man, in the new creation, and the promises of what God has given us through Christ Jesus? You know, it says that all the promises of God are in Christ Jesus. That gives you the magnitude of what he did. You know, the immense value of his life and his death and his resurrection. All the promises of God are in Christ Jesus. That's it. You can't get it any other way. You know, people try, right? They try to bribe God. You know, God, if you do this for me, I'll do this. Or if I'm a really good person. But what God really requires and wants is for us to believe. That's pretty simple. Chapter 5, verse 24, it says, Jesus Christ speaking, "Verily, verily," or "Amen and amen, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." What a great statement. And if you don't understand life and death, if you don't understand spirit life, then that's a puzzling statement, isn't it? It's a puzzling statement. It's a puzzling statement for most Christians because most Christians don't understand it. You know, they don't understand death. They don't understand life. They don't understand spirit life. I was thinking about this in some ways, and this is a terrible analogy. I'm telling you right up front. But, you know, if you had an old junker car and you buy a new one, why would you want to ride around in the old junker car? When you want to ride around in the new car? Kind of stupid to ride around in the old one. I know some people do that, you know, they'll buy a new car, but they don't want to get a scratch on it, so they drive the old one. I don't understand that, because I don't understand the point of having a new car if you don't drive it and enjoy it. Let's go to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 and verse 21. "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith or believing of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference." There's no difference. The righteousness of God to all that believe in Jesus Christ. Again, how many Christians are trying to figure out, or any other religion are trying to figure out how to become righteous? You know, how can I be good enough when God already accomplished it through his son, Jesus Christ? It's already a done deal. You know, and when you condemn yourself, when you walk in guilt, when you doubt God, you're doubting your righteousness. Because what's righteousness? The ability to stand before God with any fear of sense, guilt, or shame. It's what it is. When somebody says, "How are you?" do you ever say, "Well, I'm righteous"? Or "as he is"?
Holy without blame.
Holy without blame. Yeah, that's another one. You know, that's a proper response. It is. We should be new creation conscious, or new creation minded, not old man minded. What does that new creation entail, encompass, and really mean? What does it mean? Well, we know all the promises of God are in Christ Jesus. We know that we are made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I was thinking about the renewed mind. We're going to look at that. Turn to Romans 12. We're here. Might as well look at it. I thought about how we think about renewed mind. And the first thing that comes to my thought is, well, I have to change my thinking, right? You know what everybody thinks? I have to change my thinking. But it's more than that. You know, if you think about Jesus Christ, we say he had the perfectly renewed mind. Well, that perfectly renewed mind was more than just a new way of thinking or changing his thinking. It was a new way of thinking, of acting, of living, of speaking. It permeated his whole being in everything he did. That's truly renewed mind. Mm-hmm. You know, because your mind controls everything, right? In Romans chapter 12, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, if you present your bodies a living sacrifice, what does that mean? It means you're given everything, right? What's a sacrifice? You're giving. You're giving everything. Your body's a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice. You're not going to die for, you know, I was thinking, you know, Johnny prayed for Iran, the war in Iran. You know, we don't understand those people because they're nuts. Right. And this is a little, you know. They commit suicide thinking that's going to benefit them. Mm-hmm. Well, we don't think that way. We think living will benefit God and us. You know, living for God and living for Jesus Christ is what makes a difference. When you're fighting somebody that thinks it's great to die for their God, the only thing you can do is kill them. That's kind of crazy.
Do them a favor, kill them.
So we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Our bodies meaning what? Our life, our whole being. Right? That's what it's talking about. And the way of doing that is be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God's will is to permeate our life, the way we think, the way we speak, the way we act, how we take care of business, how we treat each other, how we treat ourselves. In every aspect of life, it's to permeate our beings. Just like Jesus Christ, did he think anything but godly thoughts? Did he ever act ungodly? Now, he was tempted in all ways, right?
Yeah.
But without sin.
Right.
You know, it's kind of cool when you read this and you think about what Jesus Christ did for us and our righteousness. You know, a lot of religions are sin conscious. You know, if you sin, you're going to hell. If you sin, you're going to do this. If you sin, you do that. We're not, that's not the point of Christianity, is it?
No.
Jesus Christ wiped sin out. We're to live for him and to live for God. If you focus on sin, it kind of hinders your life for God. It kind of hinders your walk. You can't be worried all the time about making mistakes. You know, if you played a sport ever in life, you know that you can't win by trying to avoid losing, right? Which is, you know, avoiding sin. You know, you're going to sin. Accept it. Oh, that's the way it is because I'm imperfect. But I have Christ in me, the hope of glory. I'm made righteous. I'm justified. I'm sanctified. I'm holy and without blame. And I'm walking for him the best of my ability. And as I do that, God's going to bless me. Let's go to 1 John. First John, chapter 4, verse 4. Ye are of God, little children. Well, that's a nice thing to know. Ye are of God. Woohoo. And he calls us little children. And have overcome them. And the context is, trying the spirits, and not every spirit is of God. You have overcome them, the evil of the world, the devil spirits, Satan. Because greater is he, Jesus Christ, that is in you, than he that is in the world. You know, Christ is in you, and he's greater. He conquered the devil, right? He beat him. He defeated him. Let's look at verse 16. Verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Isn't that great? You know, God loves us and he dwells in us. When we have God, we have love. Whether we recognize it or acknowledge it or not, God loves us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in what?
Christ Jesus.
Christ Jesus. Right. And Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, is the, you know, epitome of God's love to us. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Jesus Christ is and was our example of living life. It says in chapter 12, verse 1, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses," referring to all the great men of the Old Testament in chapter 11, not that they're floating around in the sky, "let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us." That's a pretty cool thing to think about. Mm-hmm. Set aside the sin which doth so easily beset us, knocks us off the track, right? You know, you're motoring along, everything's great, and all of a sudden, oh, I sinned. And all of a sudden, you lose focus of God and what he's done for you. You know, sin that doth so easily beset us. "And let us run with patience the race that is set us for us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." Or the leader and prince, or there's a couple of different ways it can be translated, of our faith or our believing, "who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." You know, Jesus Christ had no sense of sin. Neither should we. Jesus Christ had no sense of inferiority. Neither should we. Jesus Christ never doubted his sonship. Neither should we. Jesus Christ never doubted his Father's love. Neither should we. Jesus Christ had no sense of condemnation. Neither should we. Jesus Christ was fearless. We should be too. Let's go to 2 Peter. All good things to think about. 2 Peter, chapter 1. Verse 4, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." We have the divine nature. What is divine nature? It's a godly nature. It's I don't know how you say the word. It's, you know, theos is God in Greek. Well, it's T-H-E-I-O-S, I think. But it means godly or godlike. We have a godlike nature. Why? Because we have his spirit within us. We have God's nature. We were set free. Why go backwards? You know, think about Israel. God set them free. All they want to do is go back. They want to go back to slavery.
We do the same thing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
We do the same thing.
Why do we do that?
Every day. Because we're stupid.
Thank you. That's the point. We're to be new creation minded. We've been freed from the bondage of the world. Why be entrapped again? Why be so easily beset? You know, it just doesn't make sense. We have that new nature in us. You know, we talk about DNA and we talk about the nature of man and all this other stuff. Well, we have God's nature. We have a spirit nature within us. And that's what we should really concentrate on and focus in developing. Let's Let's go to Galatians chapter 2. Okay. Verse 19. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. Paul speaking, right? I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith or the believing of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Well, that's our recipe for living. You know, that's what Paul did. I am crucified with Christ. You know, if you understand the word, you understand that when Christ was crucified, we were hanging on the cross with him. We literally, in God's reality and eyes, were crucified with him. We paid the price already for all our sins because we died with him. We were crucified with him. Yet, not I, but Christ liveth in me. You know, it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. And that's what I need to focus on, the Christ in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith or the believing of the Son of God. You know, the life I live in the flesh, well, that renewed mind should permeate every bit of our being, every bit of our flesh. And gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness cometh by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. You know, we can't achieve righteousness by our works because it's already finished. We've already been made righteous. We're already past all that. Why do we want to go back? Why do we want to go backwards and do things that we don't need to do? It's like, I don't know. You make a trip, you take a trip of 300 miles, and you say, that wasn't right, I'm going to go back and start over. Would you do that? That's absolutely silly. Let's go to Romans chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 1. The enormity of what Jesus Christ did for us, the magnitude of what he did for us, mm-hmm. is so incredible. Mm-hmm. You know, and we have nothing without Christ. And the importance of Christ was so important that the people that anticipated and really believed concerning his coming got blessed, like Abraham. Abraham was reckoned righteous not because Christ had come and he believed in him, but because he anticipated and believed what God said about his coming. It even said that Lot was righteous. You know, it's kind of wild. Then you look at Lot and say, wow, he wasn't so great. Well, apparently he was a lot greater than, you know, just the story, because it says just Lot, righteous Lot. Chapter 6, verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? You know, that's something people will say, well, it's grace, so I can do whatever I want. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? What does that mean, dead to sin? Well, when Christ was crucified, we were crucified, so we died with him. Well, a dead person can't sin, can they? Can't. So we're dead to sin. How can we live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ or Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? You know, baptism had to do with cleansing, right? That's, you know, John the Baptist cleansed people in the Jordan. It was a symbolic cleansing, preparing them for the sacrifice. When people went to sacrifice at the temple, they had places where they could cleanse themselves and they could cleanse their animals, preparing them for sacrifice. It was symbolic. But the point is, we were baptized in his death. We died with him. We were cleansed in that death with him. Couldn't do that yourself. The Muslims try, but they can't because they don't believe in Christ. So they kill themselves. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. That's how we're to walk, in newness of life. We are to have that new creation mind in us. We are a new creation. You know, before you got born again, and even yesterday, you may have had a crappy day or done something horrible. So what? Today's a new day, and you are a new creation. And you live that new creation in your heart and your mind. And you do your best to live that new creation in everything you do all the time. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Planted together is interesting. It's the Greek word soumphutos, a word used of that which is innate or naturally born in something, or that which is united or identified with something. It is used here to refer to an identification with Christ in the likeness of his death. Isn't that cool? We have been planted together. You know, we are innately joined with him in his death and in his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Well, that makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. Death has no more dominion over us. You know, when we die, we talk about what? Falling asleep. Mm-hmm. Because it's temporary. Because we will rise again.
Wake up.
You know, what a great comfort that is. What a great understanding.
Yeah.
You know, you close your eyes and you open your eyes. Mm-hmm. That's it. But in the meantime, we are to do the best we can to live for God and to live for Jesus Christ. For in him that died, he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. He's our example, right? He lives unto God. We are to live unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through what?
Jesus Christ, our Lord.
And when it says our Lord, what does that mean? It means he's our master. He's the one we serve. The word reckon is the word logizomai in Greek. And it comes from logos. And that's where we get our word logic from. You are logically to reason that you are what?
Dead to sin.
You're dead to sin and alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the logical conclusion of everything. You know, that's what we should be thinking. Anything other than that is illogical, which is, you know, not a sound mind. So, Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you that we are new creations, that we can live for you, that we can be just the very best we can be, that we can live for you and live for your Son, Jesus Christ, that we are new creation-minded and conscious, not old man conscious, that we get rid of those fears and doubts and worries, that we just render them dead, and that we live unto you, and that we can live with joy in our hearts all the time. And we thank you for this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.